I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And this is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we found out about the latest in war boots, didn't we? Well, we didn't intend to.
Clearly did, yeah.
We thought it was a sport-related chat, but it went in a different direction. It involved brightly coloured laces. Anyway, it's a long story. It'll make sense when you hear it. We found out about the greatest goal scorer of all time, and you've probably never heard of them, but thankfully Jonathan Wilson was on hand to give us a chapter and verse. And somebody called in, a TalkSport listener, who has been drinking beer from a vase.
Absolutely.
And he's gone viral.
He called himself Lagerman.
He did.
And he said, he compared himself favourably to Alan Brazil in those in that department.
Yeah. And you then built the Legion of Drunken Heroes, which we thank you for. So all of that other associated chat that we had this afternoon, here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Hey, good afternoon. Just heard there that Manchester City have bought, is it Bolivar?
Bolivar.
Yeah,
we'll ask Tim Vickery about that tomorrow.
That's
yeah.
a good idea. Well, I played football once in Bolivia.
Did you really? That's a lovely little segue.
In Lake Titicaca, I believe, at the top of a mountain. And we played a five-a-side. I was early 30s. I was the veteran of the side.
Right.
And we played a few 20-year-olds. Good footballers in the side there on our minibus. We played a bunch of about 60-year-old Bolivians.
But really?
There's no air up there. It's so because you're so the altitude is so high.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That we couldn't breathe and
they were
running
it.
Around us. So look, so West Brom is the highest ground. The Hawthorns are the highest ground.
Not quite as high as that. You don't get altitude sickness when you go to the Hawthorns.
You need to chew the coca leaves to not get the altitude sickness. But this could be a really... If City are struggling to win at West Brom, which I suspect they might have a good chance if they haven't done it already,
yeah.
That's a way in. If signed some Bolivians, they're good at altitude. Yeah. West Brom away, good news for Pep Guardiola. Because it is the fine margins, isn't it?
It certainly is. I mean, that's 60-year-old Bolivians. How did you find yourself in Bolivia? What was it for?
Well, during the glory years...
Were you finding yourself?
Obviously, yeah. During the gory years of Soccer AM, 2008 to 2015, Paul.
Yeah.
At the end of May, it was a bit like being a footballer without having to get fit. At the end of May, they'd say August the 10th. So I just get a backpack and fly to South America and just wander about, see what would happen.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that's where I ended up a mountain in Bolivia playing
60-year-old men.
Yeah.
And you lost, I take it.
Yeah,
from what
I absolutely hammered. Tough game. It was a very tough game.
So, okay, well, again, I'm quite interested in any of the listeners. I've had a little impromptu games. I think a team of 60-year-old Bolivians is the bar that has been set by Max at altitude.
At the minimum height, I'd say like 1,000 metres above sea level or we're not interested.
Okay.
I think
it doesn't have to be football altitude, but I'm just interested to know whether a little scratch game has come together. And as we said, whether you've been called upon very last minute to get a game on.
I had a game in the Amazon once, Paul, where I'm not joking. They had one area of land and they made it turn to a football pitch and they put like a temporary stand up, which is the stadium, and they had like a commentator. And because I was sort of taller than most of the Ecuadorians, they called me Peter Crouch at the time.
It's all relative, isn't it?
But I take my Astro boots whenever I go somewhere.
Just in case, like a pickup.
Exactly.
It's great, isn't
it? You never know.
And, like the Incredible Hulk, aren't you?
And the end of the game, the next day we were flying to a different part of Ecuador and I just left my Astro boots outside.
Yeah.
And then we packed in the morning and I got my boots and I put them in the bag and we flew to the other side of Ecuador. And when I got out, I reached in to take the soles out of my AstroTurf boots, and I pulled out a grasshopper that was about
wow
10 inches long, and it flew down, so I changed the ecosystem of Ecuador. Have you ever changed the ecosystem of Ecuador? 8, 10, 89.
Oh, wait, Alan did that one with Ali the other day.
No, you're right. It was a Ray Parler was on.
Yeah, Ray came on. Yeah, absolutely. He said, they just, oh, change it a little bit. Change it a little bit, the ecosystem, Al. Not the whole ecosystem, but they killed off all the indigenous grasshoppers. Now there's none left. That's why I fight for them. That's why I have a charity game every year for the indigenous grasshoppers of... yeah,
he
so
does.
Ray and they did it the other morning.
Did you like the FA Cup draw there? Were you happy with that? You've got Wickham and then Wednesday or Everton.
Our record at Goodison is generally pretty good, but you know, it's not. I'm not saying it's not a tough draw. They're a good side. They beat us at our place earlier in the season, so it could have been easier, couldn't it, really?
Yeah. Who do you think would
Chelsea win? Finally got an away draw. They always seem to be at home, Chelsea. I think they finally got an away draw in whatever, what round was it, the semi-final we drew last night.
I mean, Manchester City's is extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah. Their last 12 draws in the third, fourth and fifth round, Swansea or Forest, Cheltenham, Birmingham, Wednesday, Fulham, Port Vale, Newport, Burnley, Rotherham, Wigan, Cardiff, Burnley. They do all right in those draws, City,
yeah,
don't they?
I thought it was an impeccable draw last night. Reshman did a brilliant job, Aaron Reshman Chowdhury, and Crouchy, I thought, was excellent as well, because he had to do two draws. Have you ever done a draw for any sporting event?
Well,
have you ever done it?
We tried to do the draw for Autobiography Wars round one, and There were two Shane Warnes in it, and I messed up, got one of the numbers wrong. Yeah, I've done a lot of the JPT.
Right,
you know,
okay.
Back in the day, we did the JPT, we'd play your cards right.
I used to feel the... we did one, Barry Hearn came in, we did the snooker, we did the first round of... I can't remember, was it Master Snooker or was it the... Well, it might have been a World Championship. I felt a lot of responsibility.
Yes.
That thing of drawing people's names out, with Barry sitting there, you know, and, you know, the old nine with a line under it, making sure it's not a six... And you do feel the responsibility of doing a proper draw like that. So I thought he did a very good job last night.
Who do you think would win if Liverpool and Manchester United played against Stockport, West Ham and Doncaster, which was when the draw was made? It was 22-33.
Well, they're talking about revitalising the FA Cup. What a way to do that. Mm. I mean, it really would be alive and well if we had combined teams. So, I mean, it'd be quite a West Ham-heavy side.
Well, no, I think they get 33, because there's three of them, because it was done before West Ham beat Stockport. You get 33 players on the pitch from West Ham. They each get their first starting 11.
Look,
and then you get Liverpool
idea.
And Man United together. Yeah. Obviously not the cliques of like the late 90s when Liverpool and Man United didn't talk to each other, because that would really affect the game. It's something to consider, isn't it?
I think I just heard myself saying, what a great idea. I didn't actually mean it at all. So, a lucky drinking receptacle. That's something I just want to get you going. We're keeping you busy in the first 10 minutes, but tell us your stories. Lucky drinking receptacle might be a bit easier to come up with. This is this fella on social media you may have seen, Josh of Paisley in Renfrewshire, who basically started drinking from drinking lager from a vase. Saw a vase there, started drinking from it. I don't know, a bit of Tennent's, I don't know if his team won, but I think the listeners, one or two have already been in touch with you on social media, haven't they? They have lucky drinking receptacles.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim says, my 2009 Norwich Beer Festival pint glass. I smashed one. I had to go and buy a replacement on eBay because he has to use that.
To have a beer while he watches the game when Norwich are on.
Joe says, I never drink from my QPR mug the morning before a Saturday game. I can only enjoy a cup of tea from it in the days following a draw or a win. I like the expectation not high. A draw is fine for QPR fans at the moment. And there's someone who says who only uses a bowl to drink beer during the Super Bowl, which I quite like. It's a real attention to detail.
So let us know. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Dante says, same thing as Max, beaten by a bunch of 12-year-olds playing football in Mexico City. The air was thin, and I think they cheated too.
You're accusing Mexican children.
Very easy
to have
a go. They can't defend themselves.
They can't.
Pedro joins us now from Guadalajara. He was playing in that game. Hello, Max.
We were totally
great
honest.
Yeah. Where's Andy? How is he?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talksport.
Gab Cancello tells us, on an exchange trip to France, we had to knock together a side to play our host school, who happened to be district champs. We had an asthmatic, short-sighted goalie, two girls and their woodwork teacher to make up the numbers, and we still beat them 2-1.
See, they didn't want it. If you want it, that's all that matters.
It's all in the mind, Gab. Well done. So keep those coming, those pick-up games you got involved, those weird and wonderful matches you played. Max was telling us he played against a bunch of 60-year-old Bolivians at altitude.
Hammered us.
And got absolutely battered. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Now, a lot more people, I think, are going out, taking exercise late at night, running late at night. I think we've all been sort of driving along. And then suddenly someone's upon you, think, wow, I didn't even see them, you know. So hopefully they've got some sort of high vis on. That helps. But what about if your shoes could light up? Mm. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Yeah. The laces would light up. Well, the good people at Nottingham Trent University and Kinetic have come together to make that happen. With quite a kind of cinematic way of letting the lights kick in. Joining us now, Dr. Charles Footer from Kinetic. Good afternoon, Charles.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Okay. It's a very good idea. I love the idea that you can activate these little LED lights in the laces by clicking your heels like Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz.
I think that's the trail the old British media caught on to. I mean, we developed the shoes in quite a serious purpose, to be honest, as more of a, we call it sort of a technology acceleration demonstrator. So I think everyone understands a shoe and what you might want to do with a shoe and where that might go in the future, sort of applications and ways you want to use it. And as you say, running might be a good one of those, but what's actually been developed is quite a lot smarter than just sort of a flashing lace. So things that could be possible sort of would include the ability to for the shoe to sort of tell you where you're going on your run. Obviously, we're all sort of moving into the Strava and GPS run generation, and kit like this could enable you to run without the gubbins of mobile phones, watches, etc.
Right. Okay.
Oh, right. So you can stick that on. I like the idea. I think I trust our listeners to understand the purpose of a shoe. But yeah. But beyond. but that's interesting because I find, you know, I've got my phone in my pocket, so I've got to wear a top that's got a zip that can keep my phone on. But this, you know, and I don't have one of those watches, so I could have it on my trainer, and then it tells
in
me how
laces,
far I've gone.
All in that the information laces. In the laces.
And how, Charles? How much, you know? One that lights up, how much better is that than one that glows in the dark, i.e. reflective, in terms of safety?
Yeah, I mean, again, the technology isn't sort of the ability to light something up or have a glowing. It's really a feedback to something quite a lot smarter. So to give you a bit of background, this was developed for a battle space environment, allowing direction or particular information to be relayed to operatives on the ground. So I mean, that's the kind of stream that particular technology on the shoe was designed for. And yeah, I think for slightly more understandable and perhaps compelling to say active markets, etc., the lighting up function can also tell you something through flash or you know burst.
Well, the amount of information these could relay then, Charles, if you think, you know, we see all the Premier League players wearing the vests that relay all that technology, if that could all be relayed through the players' laces, if that same level of information, where they wouldn't have to wear those and it could be done differently, I mean, is that the sort of thing that ultimately could be done?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the technology you're talking about with the vest is actually just a passive technology which records a series of different parameters or points of interest, heart rate, etc., and how far the players have run. The technology that we're developing as part of our smart textiles stream is actually sort of inbuilt CPUs, inbuilt PCBs that are doing thinking on the person. I think technology has come forward, especially for tracking performance at the elite level. But we're talking about sort of the elite level of quite a different space.
So I'm just trying to get my head around this. Let's use football as an example. They're wearing your kind of super smart laces. Can the manager see, the coach see in real time what is going on? Can he see a player's slowing down? He's not making the runs. I've looked at what the sort of runs you were making in the first half. You're not blah, blah, blah. Would they get that sort of real time information that they could make decisions on?
Yeah, I mean, that technology exists already. It's actually pretty simple nowadays and been sort of well miniaturized. I think the uptake on that is going to be pretty tough because, as you say, you've only got a few potential customers. Let's say you might get the Premier League, maybe a Championship, because it's expensive technology. As I say, it's technology that's designed for the defence space, really.
And how much will, I'd say, these won't be sort of available to us in the, they won't be having the local Timpsons. Local Timpsons won't have a pair next to your normal black lace-ups. Well, how much are you talking about?
Get a new leather sole and this throw.
Yeah, nice trophy and get your keys cut, yeah.
We haven't developed this as a product. As I say, this has been actually something that we've used to accelerate a number of technologies that we're interested in. So conformal GPS sensors, antennas, the ability to relay personnel and ops information, and also the ability to sense danger in the locality and then very quickly relay that to the user.
Oh, okay. Well, it's interesting stuff.
How does it sense? Would you get a little bit of sense danger
if it's a car coming, or get a bit of a shot through your feet? I mean, we haven't got the time to explore that now, really. Unfortunately,
it's loud noises. No, things like radiation, digital Geiger counters are fairly up to date in a piece of information, and also just HQ information. So a headquarters can relay to a user exactly where the danger is on the battle space.
Wow, okay.
That's fascinating.
Military grade laces you could have. I did like the idea of clicking your heels together and your shoes would light up, though.
One in a thousand pairs gets you to Oz,
I'm just a bit disappointed. No, good stuff, Charles. Thank you very much, Charles, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Charles Futter there. He went into the right business, of course.
I like the idea, you know, detecting the danger. So, you know, you could detect him. You know, that's Sebastian Haller's boots. So, you know, you're right. Don't worry there. Focus on Antonio.
This, I mean, basically what we were talking about there was very, very high-grade military use. And the way it was presented in the Mail was with a massive picture of Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz. I feel like the people of the Mail have been given a bum steer here,
well,
really.
We hook, line, and sinker us, wasn't it?
I came in whistling Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Exactly.
And I should have been whistling the Dad's Army theme. Really?
But, you know, do you understand the concept of a shoe? 8-89.
A couple of people have been in touch saying, what's a shoe?
What's a shoe? There we go. Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Alan's been in touch to say, should I forget about the army? I only wear slip-ons.
Yeah,
no laces.
And definitely, yes.
Steve says, I can't imagine soldiers with glow-in-the-dark laces would be a great defence mechanism.
Going back to those red jackets and playing the bagpipes in the front line, really.
We haven't thought it through.
You're asking for it, aren't you? Anyway, now, one of the things we're asking you about this afternoon is your lucky sporting drinking receptacle. When your team's on, you only drink... I've got this old mug, right, which has got the boys of 61 parading the trophy. One I got from somebody got me in the Spurs shop. It's a bit elderly now. But if Tottenham are on, I'm having a cup of tea. It has to be that one. I tend to reckon the spirit of the boys of 61.
Oh, really?
I will go to that over every other one. Everybody has a favourite little drinking receptacle. And it's amazing, really, in lockdown, people with time on their hands, how weird things can get a head of steam up. And this was Josh Coyle, who saw his dad pick up a vase and start drinking lager from it. I think his mum had left it out for some flowers. And the old man said, you know what? Get some tenants
in there.
Yeah. So, I mean, it may be the spirit of Brian Potter from Phoenix Knights, maybe, within him. And Stuart, the dad in question, was listening. Hi, Stuart.
How are you doing, lads? Okay?
You've gone good. How are you? You've gone viral, Stuart, and you didn't even know about it. You're a viral sensation.
I know. It's amazing. It's just grow your arms and legs.
Did you know it? I mean, did you know it was a vase, or did you think it was just the perfect drinking glass for what was required?
No, not really, because I was just sitting down, relaxing to watch the football when she came in with the flowers. And I thought, I'm not going to get peace to watch the game. So I just grabbed the vase and filled it with tenants.
Would have been great if she put the flowers in that at that point.
Absolutely.
And it turned in, yeah.
And are you slightly surprised that, you know, I mean, to all intents and purposes, this vase looks a little bit like a glass, doesn't it? You know, it's not an ornate one. It's quite a, it's sort of like a tall, thin,
pint
of light. None of us have a lot to do at the moment, Stuart, but are you slightly surprised that this has caught the imagination of the nation?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It takes two cans, so it's a big long one from, I'm allowed to see it, IKEA.
Sure.
Oh,
why
yeah.
Not? Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, you can get two in there. And Stuart, does it remain cold? I don't know how quickly you drink, but I find...
Well, I drink quite a lot. My nickname's Lager Man.
So. Hell of a... That's the Legion of Drunken Heroes. He's a member of Lager Man. Bitter Boy.
What a great superhero that is, isn't
fantastic,
it? We can only call for Lager Man.
Advocar Girl. Well, that'd be brilliant, wouldn't they? Assemble.
That's the stories my two sons got when they were small. Lager Man. The more lager you get, the more special powers you have.
Yeah. Who is your team, Stuart?
Glasgow Rangers.
Glasgow Rangers. So this is a celebratory couple of cans of tenants at the moment, as opposed to commiserations to you.
Well, I'm going to try and get my record to 55. So,
what, 55? What cans during a game?
Or? 55 cans during the game.
Wow. Who knew we'd find a Scotsman who could drink more than Alan on TalkSport? It's the first one.
That would be fantastic.
He's an amateur.
Yeah.
50. I mean, there's probably some health. I mean, 55 in the game is quite the effort.
That's, that's 20.
Oh, that's my ambition.
20 odd vases full.
Stuart, where are you currently at, Stuart? If your ambition is 55, mine could be, but I don't think I get past three in a game.
My record's 29.
But we should point out, please drink responsibly.
Absolutely. Yes.
The kids are in bed when I'm doing that.
Yes. Yes. That's one way of looking at it. As long as your liver knows that. Stuart, is this the year then? Stephen Gerrard's done an amazing job for you, hasn't he?
Oh, yes. I hope so. I'm not tempting fate just now, but I really do.
I think
he's doing really well.
After last night, you're getting to the stage where we're
I'm not interested in them.
No.
Not interested in them. We do our own job and we'll have 55.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, look, Stuart, lovely to talk to you. It's great you've gone viral.
Thanks, Stuart.
We look forward to you on the next series of Dancing on Ice.
Fantastic. Thanks, there we are.
Take care.
Cheers, Stuart.
There we are. That's Stuart there, the dad in question who's drinking from I wonder if that IKEA vase now, but people will be popping in there, seeing it and thinking, well, you get two cans in there.
Well, they could move it to the kitchen section and see if it sells more, I guess.
I like the Legion of Drunken Heroes, though. I mean, a film that could be. If you want to help us build that, we've got Bitter Boy and we've got Lager Man, of course, Stuart. So, this Alan Brazil.
Captain Morgan, of course. He's a really good one, isn't he?
Captain Morgan will need to be there. So let's have, as we advise you, once again, to drink responsibly, we will build the Legion of Drunken Heroes this afternoon. TalkSport.com, text 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ.
Amongst other things that I suggested that people got in touch with was about, which we haven't discussed yet, which is obviously now footballers can no longer, so they've been told not to hug each other. Mm. And in fact, Sparky wrote to the Star and said, why are footballers still allowed to hug each other when celebrating a goal with the risk of spreading COVID? He doesn't want to... He's not interested.
Spreading.
G does not work.
Really?
Celebrating and spreading. Maybe G doesn't work on his phone.
It's in the Pretty Patel envelope there, isn't it, really?
Spreading COVID-19, find a different way to celebrate. So I thought the idea of, could we come up with socially distant celebrations for the players to do.
I was thinking like a Regency bow. You know that thing you see where the one buckled shoe comes forward, in this case a light up laced football boot, and the arms thrust out the other one, and you do that thing with the right hand where you sort of wave it and bow at the same
That's
time.
That's really
like
nice.
Like you've just ended a dance with someone, a woman with a big blonde wig and a beauty spot.
Killarney's Pub, which I believe deals in pints, not 2-pint vases, says, I would fancy a classic game of follow the leader, where the goal scorer walks around the empty stadium, weaving in and out of rows up and down steps with his teammates in a train behind him. That's a nice one. Ben says, the usual Cristiano Ronaldo, but running off to the nearest camera. So each player runs off to the nearest camera to them and does the Cristiano Ronaldo, and you kind of lean back.
Yeah.
But obviously, when you cut it up with the cameras, it could look really good if each player, whoever scores... You know, Martial scores tonight against Burnley, but then they all run off into different directions, and then you could cut them up with the cameras. You don't look convinced by that. I'm just looking at me going, why are you on this show? I've done this show for 20 years, and this is what you bring me.
It's just, I've just had an epiphany, Max, so I'm off, mate. I've just realised, what's the point of all this?
Now, there was this microwave. Here we go, that's what I wanted. Ferry says, coordinate like an Esther Williams routine, with all the players running away from each other.
But using a drone, so you get that aerial shot of them creating flowers.
Exactly, from the overhead camera, players are an exploding firework. And someone else said, which I need to find because it's a really good one, make a constellation. So the rarer the constellation they could make. So you make the plough or the Orion's belt. That's not as good as constellations.
They relies on a lot of aerial shots.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not just sort of bump elbows?
You're not allowed
or just
to touch
bump to fist touch. From a bump fist
I don't
from
think
a distance.
You're giving this the attention it deserves. Would you like to move on?
No,
Paul?
No, Max. I'd love to hear any other elaborate ones. TalkSport. The players. There's got to be socially distanced, obviously. TalkSport.com. Text 8. Well, you can always give one of your teammates a phone call when you get home and go, yay! One of them. This afterwards. I think it's lost in the movement. Oh,
James in Manchester says the legend of drunken heroes, missed train man. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wherever he is, he's missed the train. Home. Yeah. He's missed the last bus home.
That's my mate Steve, who gets on the train whenever he's drunk and he goes to the end of the line. Well, that could be Cambridge, it could be Harrogate. And then often stays awake and then comes all the way back again. He's done that a couple of times.
A friend of mine, Ollie, was getting a train. We were on a night out in Reading on a golf weekend. He had to get back to Waterloo and he got the train and he fell asleep and he woke up at Waterloo and rushed out of the train and rushed out of the station and got in a cab and said, Oval, please. And the guy said, that'll be £180. He went, what? He went, you're in Slough.
Oh, yeah.
To be so drunk to think that Slough Station looks like Waterloo and not notice at any time is quite impressive, isn't it?
My mate has run off the train thinking he's at the point of getting his train. The door's closed and that's the last train. It's pulled out to go into the sidings. and he's getting a 50-quid cab home.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're going to hear from Jose Mourinho. You may have heard this earlier on. Our own James Savundra was putting questions to Jose ahead of the Fulham game and asked whether Jose had any sympathy for Scott Parker, the Fulham manager, having to play at such short notice.
Are you serious? They had 48 hours to prepare for this game. Look, I had the news that I was not going to play them 2 hours before the game starts. The biggest impact is to have matches postponed. That is the biggest impact. The changing of, let's say, the order of the matches, the impact is, I would say, minimal. Because in the end, you have to play 19 matches at home and 19 matches away. You have to play 2 matches against every team. If he's to help the Premier League to go and to hand properly, I think is a solution that we all have to accept as a positive solution.
If Jones had a game sprung on him, if he'd picked a team to play in the cup, it was slightly different with Marine, but because they had a tougher game for them. Mm-hmm. But if he picked a team to play in the cup, thinking, well, I haven't got to worry, I can pick a team because no, I won't really play until next Friday, so I've got a clear run now. And then a game was dropped on him on Wednesday. He wouldn't be massively pleased, whatever he says there.
No, but he would have absolutely said, it's totally fine. What's much worse is that Fulham had a game and then it was postponed. Yes, I respectively don't think that's nonsense, isn't it? I mean, it is annoying if your game is called off, right? 2 hours before kickoff. That is annoying. You've prepared for it. I understand that. And you might have prepared the game before. Yeah. That might have an impact.
I mean, that was the league's fault, wasn't it, really? They procrastinated. They obviously want to get all these games on and they've left it as late as they could to make a call. You know, so that's what went on there. It wasn't really Fulham's fault that they had this outbreak. But Dave Kidd wrote a really interesting piece in The Sun. He is a Fulham fan. He's got skin in the game. But he felt the whole thing felt very Sunday league. And I do take one of his points. Over the next 6 weeks or so, with everything that's going on, there's a pretty good chance, a bit like we always say about things evening themselves over the course of a season, over VAR and penalty shouts, etc. I think we're going to see quite a few teams sawn off like that. We're going to see a few games having to be rearranged very quickly, meaning you might have to play a game on a Wednesday that you weren't even expecting at the weekend. And you're going to see a lot of teams feeling the way that Fulham are at the moment. It'll be interesting to see what the attitude is if it's one of the top four or six teams, if it is a Liverpool Man United.
What are you suggesting?
Well, I'm wondering if the pushback, that greater pushback, will mean that these games won't go on in the same way. Maybe Fulham have been a bit too accommodating, or they've got no choice. I mean, it's the Premier League's call. Yeah. Dave Kidd making the point that we could have been in a situation, we still might, that we may have to go Sunday morning and have double headers. You know,
idea.
Two 60-minute games played on the same evening or same afternoon.
I've suggested this, I think, to Jamie O'Hara or Darren Bent or someone who just looked at me like I was mad. But yeah, there's a double header's great. You get 6 points. You know, it is a literal six-pointer, isn't it?
Would you play an hour?
Then you play half hour each way, you get about 5 minutes off. Then you maybe get 15 minutes off, and then you get another hour, half hour each way.
Could you put two different teams
in? Absolutely, yeah.
You could play an A and a B side as agreed up front.
Yeah, totally. You can bring as many as you like. 14 in the match day squad. They can obviously have their 9 substitutes, but you could mix that up.
If it came down to not getting the season finished or playing double headers,
I don't think there's a fan out there who wouldn't like to see a double header. Obviously, home advantage, I mean, although the league has kind of shown that doesn't really exist. Yeah. Wouldn't you just like to say, you know, what have you got? Sunday, 4 o'clock, it's Man United, Liverpool, and at 5:15, it's Liverpool, Man United. You're like, that is a great Sunday, isn't it?
It would be really fun.
I mean, I'm actually, I don't know what you think.
It's never going to happen.
No,
is it?
It isn't. But we should run football and then it would. I'm surprised and sort of slightly impressed. I totally understand Scott Parker's feelings about this, and I think Fulham have on this occasion it sort of been diddled, and you do hope over the season everyone will have to kind of go, look, for the greater good we need to do this. I'm actually slightly surprised and impressed with the flexibility. I kind of thought they, you know, people were saying this last week, they should have announced this earlier, but I'm slightly surprised that they've managed to make it happen, even if it is slightly unfair on Fulham.
Because we were all saying Friday night, as soon as Villa put the kids out against Liverpool, everybody was saying, well, there's no way they're going to be able to play Wednesday. There's no way they're going to play Wednesday. So, sure.
And you can't do it in the Premier League. I've heard people say, well, if you can do it in the Cup, you can do it in the league. The difference is...
But they could have called it on Friday night, allowing Scott Parker to play a different team against QPR.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's totally unfair on Fulham. Having said that, with my Spurs allegiance, and you know, Fulham will actually go over there and get
absolutely cuff their second string.
Fulham will get a point now, won't they?
They probably will. They'll feed off the injustice of it. They'll play out their skins.
But I think you're right. So many things are going to happen, aren't they? We're all waiting for football to stop. I don't know about you. You're sort of in your heart.
You do get that. So you hope it carries
on. You're sitting there going, I really want it to carry on, but I want it to be safe. What I do wonder is, and I think we're not necessarily in the best place to judge this, is how generally is it viewed away from football fans, right? I would suspect most people listening to this are football fans. It'd be an odd station to listen to if you hated football. But for the rest of the country, how do they feel when they see football carrying on? It seems at odds with what's happening elsewhere. Now, obviously, anything that carries on is good because people get paid, and people have to pay, get the stadium open, etc., etc. You know, it helps for it to carry on. And, you know, if something I'm not interested in, opera, could carry on safely, then good. You know, I wouldn't be angry about it. But I do wonder what the feeling amongst people who aren't interested in football, and we don't know, because
I watched a bit of socially distanced opera the other day.
Oh, how'd it go?
And I know somebody who's involved, and they were just showing us a video of it's part of a course they were doing, part of a degree course they were doing. And it's a bit weird. You know, opera doesn't particularly lend itself to everybody being at least 2 metres. And they also had to be very careful. They all had to wear masks. because you know you're singing so loudly and so powerfully. They had to really keep
like
away
from surgical
each
masks. Or they did them in character masks.
No, they didn't. They did them in surgical masks, which wasn't easy.
Was it
course.
A medical opera or
it,
not?
It wasn't. Okay. It wasn't Phantom of the Opera either.
No, because that would have.
Yeah,
it's the wrong place for the mask.
But they all had to. It's weird, you know. You got a lot of love scenes. You got a lot of.
You've got to hold. Someone's always dying.
Someone's. You've got to hold them up. I mean, you're sort of 2 meters apart, just sort of pretending to hold them and stuff. You got a lot of virtual air kissing was going on, but.
It's not talk opera, but you know what is your favourite? Adrian,
come
and
on, let's
doing
have
of...
Ali for me. It's got to be Don Giovanni for Ali? Me. I don't like the comedies, Ali for
no,
me.
But, you know, there's
for
a lot
me,
to be
got
said. For...
To be, I like Mozart. You know, Ali, I do love.
Yeah, but
I do love Carmen. I'd love to see Alan do that.
Nick says, great to hear Wes Houlihan is still playing. What a genius he was for two seasons with us in Blackpool in the late noughties. Scored a famous Panenka against our noisy neighbours Preston at their place, which has gone down in pool legend. Yeah, I was Barry Glendening and I were talking about Wes Houlihan. Going, you know, everybody in Ireland thinks Wes Houlihan is one of the greatest players of a generation, except the four or five people who were managing the Republic of Ireland at the time, which is a bit of a disappointment.
He is Irish, of course, isn't
absolutely,
he?
Just, yes.
The fact he wasn't picked very often, I was beginning to wonder whether somebody had found out. I mean, with a name like that, I kind of guessed he was.
Never stopped Ireland in the past.
You're never quite sure. What else? I was going to ask you something else here. I'm looking at a few of the things we didn't get round to today.
Okay, yes.
One of which was Harry and Meghan, apparently. One of the things that they hope to do with their new production company is create their own comedy shows.
Oh, great.
I don't guess they'd be the massively easy people to pitch to for a comedy show. I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong. They could have incredibly
experience in this, couldn't you?
I imagine they'd be of that school of TV executives that I've pitched comedy show ideas to, and they sit there straight-faced and go... Yeah, that's very funny. You feel like saying, well, why are you laughing then? Or indeed have laughed in the last 5 minutes.
I've had some of those. And I'm sure you have. I've had some of those youth hostling with Chris Eubank meetings.
Oh, yeah.
You know when you sit down and go, right, you're meeting a TV executive. And you know, I've had no TV shows commissioned, so like I don't have a great hit rate. And you've got a good idea that they instantly think is terrible.
Mm.
And then you think, I want to do an idea, a documentary called Big Things.
Yeah.
Right? We just go to the biggest... thing, the biggest car, the biggest factory, the biggest house.
Max Rushton's Big
Thing.
Exactly.
Things. I just think it's simple, but it works. But anyway, they go, that's terrible. And they go, what else do you like? What are your passions? And you sit there going, oh, no, I don't like anything. And I'm in this meeting going, I've got to think of something I like. And then all I can think of is Chris Tarrant on railways. But I'm not that bothered about railways. And then you sort of...
I'm trying to think where you could get that away.
Dave would take Big Things, wouldn't
they? They might. Look, I think ITV would take Bradley Walsh's Big Things.
Richard Osman's Big Things. Doesn't it? It works.
You know, Paddy McGuinness's Big Things. I'm not suggesting that your level of celebrity couldn't get this away, Max, but your level of celebrity couldn't get this away.
Could Richard Osman? Because, you know, everything he touches turns
to
gold.
He's got better things to do than Max Rushton's Big Things. Because he is very tall, isn't he? So
that's the point. It could work for him.
Yeah, him and Crouchy.
Yeah. Because I'm not even really short. Like Andy Jacobs' Big Thing would work because, you know, he's short and they're big.
Andy Jacobs, he could be like the Richard Hammond in that particular Crouchy.
Yeah,
that looked
exactly.
funny, wouldn't it? Richard. Yeah. Anyway,
no, you don't think so?
I just realised we're on national radio. Should we move on?
No, every big thing.
We've got
no,
three
no, bear
Premier
with
League
me.
Games.
Bear
tonight.
With me. Every big thing. You compare it to blue whales and double decker buses. You see, and then you have a whole there's a whole area of spreadsheets. It's
yeah.
be really good.
Well, look, that's very funny.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talksport.
Premier League doubleheaders. Andy in Reigate says, "I once played a Sunday League doubleheader. Was sent off in the second half of the first game. Opposition were annoyed when I lined up for the second game, but referee confirmed the paper." Work and associate a ban had not yet gone through,
that's
so
brilliant.
I was able to play.
They
should have had a judge by the side of the pitch saying, "That's it, banned for three games."
And you gave those eyes when you looked through me when I'm suggesting a terrible idea, Paul. When I was suggesting big things,
Max Rushton's Big Things.
You mentioned Richard Hammond. It turns out that he made it all for either Dave or National Geographic. But lots of people got in touch to say my one and only TV idea has already been nicked by Richard Hammond. Very upsetting.
So he's already done it.
He's already made it. He called it Big. He missed off the things. So that maybe he went in with Big Things and they went, actually, I've got it. Take off the
they
things.
They probably said, we had Max Rushton in with Big Things. If we don't call it Things, it'll take him off the scent. We won't have to give him anything.
You're right. And that's too late to sue now, isn't it?
Probably.
Well, Andy's back tomorrow, isn't he? So I can spend tomorrow
getting a very stern solicitor's letter
little case together and I'll bring it to you on Thursday.
Bring it into us Thursday. We look forward to that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Max, we'll leave you then to write stern letters to the powers that be, Richard Hammond. And you're back on Thursday.
Back on Thursday, if selected.
Fantastic. Good stuff. Andy's with me tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.